Hey, it says it's 7 degrees. That's good. It's also windy as hell, so that's the weather. And it is nice though, it's blue and sunny. So that is pleasant because it's not been like that. You can feel the wind in the car, right?
Yeah.
You know, I can feel it. I'm not the one driving. Yeah, it's very windy. We even had like a wind warning, I think, yesterday. But yesterday there was a big day at the university because it was the psychology honors thesis student presentations. They were great. And they were great. They were really good. This guy's obviously going to cure cancer, so he had to pass us.
Yeah.
Asshole. But yeah, so we did that, and it was a good time, and like I said, they did very well. Then we went out for dinner, and for about 3 hours, drank and ate.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Good.
Yeah. My one honors student, Maitland, she was presenting, but like, she's got a baby, eh?
Yes.
So, while she's presenting, her baby sees her up there presenting, and the whole place can hear the baby going, "Mama, mama."
So cute.
And it was like, you know, I would have given you like 10 out of 10 on your talk, and you just said, "Oh, I'm done now. I got to go see my kid." When I introduced her, I said, Maitland first contacted me about working with me. I said, "Am I going to get to hang out with your baby at all? Because I like babies a lot." So I'm really only supervising her because she has a baby. Take it away, Maitland. And I introduced Dwayne's student because he couldn't go because he was, you know, he can't sit down for... It's not appropriate right now because he's recovering from surgery. And so I introduced Dwayne. So I said, in 2003, Dwayne did his thesis entitled, and I said what it was, and I said, and later he supervised the student. So,
that's sweet.
Yeah, it was good. The whole thing was good. It was really good. It was long. 15 people in two different campuses too, right? So we had people in Brampton.
They were on Zoom?
Yeah.
Neat.
And it went well. Like, it actually worked. It took about 20 extra minutes to hook up. It shouldn't have, you know, those things are always difficult.
Yeah.
But, no, it went well. And last night, and this is the first time we've done this, the department just said, "Look, we have a budget. This is a celebration. We'll buy everything." So that's what
good.
We did. And, so we had
fantastic.
Good food and everything. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Yes, they did really well. They did really well.
I'm going to the visual arts students' end of year exhibition at the Art Gallery of Algoma.
Oh, it's back there now? Yeah, okay.
On April the 18th.
All right.
At 7 p.m.
Okay, be there, be square.
Yes.
One of your students is presenting that stuff, right?
Yes, so. That is correct. Yeah.
Ooh, you'll get that money soon.
An opening. Yeah, I got my first...
Oh, you got something?
My first pay.
You got it from it? Okay.
Yeah.
Your
$600.
Yeah.
I'll get another $600 soon.
They do the... you had your opening. That was amazing.
Yeah, I had a big opening with Aldo Plasma. When I finished kind of the programming I did for Galerie Saint-Cloud over a full year, actually it was more like 2 years almost.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed to do a little bit of my own work, and Aldo Plasma was... project that I kind of twisted my friend Christiana's arm
right.
to do this show with me
right.
in French, and I had met an artist online in one of the webinars that was going to a lot during the pandemic to learn about all kinds of things about entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship and
right.
business and stuff like that.
I believe it's pronounced business.
Because as a professional artist, you have to make many decisions regarding how you're going to do your work.
Sure.
And I met Didish Ngoy, who was looking at sort of doing the same thing. She wanted to enlarge or grow her business, which is, she does sims. She's a seamstress or a fashion designer. She went to fashion design. She's taking her African roots and making garments that are traditional.
Right.
For Congolese brides, mostly, I believe.
Okay.
But one day I'll go and meet her in Toronto. I just haven't had that chance yet. We've been sort of online the whole time. But anyway, so I grabbed these two other artists and I said, let's do an exhibition together. And I'll sort of mentor you through the steps. And, you know, I'll do the grants and you'll see what that's like. You know, you'll write your statements and I'll put that in the show.
Right.
And we'll make them in French and English. And so everything was kind of put together, packaged and curated to fit into the museum.
Mm-hmm.
The museum was welcoming us and happy to showcase diversity. And
yeah, that was neat. So, like, it was really cool the way you had it all set up.
Yeah. I really love how it turned out and how it worked. It's very sweet, you know, in the way that it's packaged. It's
right.
not too cold, modern, you know. You go to some of, you know, you go to a space and it's like super modern and contemporary, and so much so that you don't really understand the performance or, you
yeah.
know, it's sterilized too much, so or too guts of an artist
right.
that puts their guts in your face, kind of thing.
This is so edgy, it's meaningless.
It's either both. It's either way.
Right.
It's just sterilized and super intellectual that you don't understand it too much, or it's too guts and gore in your face. You know, it's grotesque, or, you know,
right.
like. So I'm always kind of in the middle, I guess, with our identities, with nature, with where we live, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to make it so that it makes sense,
sure.
you know, for us uh-huh. and for the space where we're showing it, and so people have a little bit of an in to be included, you know, so people can feel included. I'm trying to do that anyway.
Right.
We ended up crying, the both of us, just the whole presentation we did. it's a lot of, she had a lot of anxiety, and they really needs a lot of guiding and
sure, earlier on,
mentorship yeah. and reassuring, and they have everything they need. It's just that because she chose to go into arts administration, she devotes her life to her work, and there's very little else left for her to
sure
to enjoy, like, other than you know, playing video games, having her 2-3 friends, you know, and I'm like, okay, but you're an artist, and you need to express it too. Like, you can't let go of it.
Right.
It's really easy to let go of it, and years can pass, and you feel like you've contributed to others. Like, people feel comfortable working with other people's artwork and presenting their artwork and being a support, but they let go of the difficulty of putting a show together. That's difficult. You have to present a series, you have to have the words for it, explain it, and there are many, many different steps that are required for that, and 1,000 decisions, you know, that how are you going to present this, and are you going to make 2 rows, or you want to make a 3x3 presentation, like what, you know? So it's all of those minute decisions are difficult for a person to go through. I get that.
Sure.
But you just have to keep at it. You can't let go of it. Otherwise, you just let life take over and your work and all of the stuff.
Sure.
And that's what I'm trying to teach, that you can take it in small bits, and then there's like a bit that's really difficult at the end, like the exhibition itself, the installation, and talking about the work is hard.
Right.
But once that's done, that's it. You got it checked. It's on the go. It's shared with people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And she also needed to have her website up, and she's been doing that. She did a great job. Her website is beautiful. So they really came up with some really good work.
Good.
Yeah.
No, it was good. I enjoyed it. I came down to look at it when you guys had your opening. I got there just as you were giving your talk. And no, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of different stuff, and I'd not seen Didish's stuff before, so that was cool. And yeah, I really liked it.
I had a little show with her compositions in Galerie Saint-Cloud at one point. It was in April 2023.
Okay.
It was a month long, and we did a few radio shows
together. No, I remember doing that, yep.
And also, I had her on Zoom for about a year.
Oh, that I remember. You guys were always doing stuff, yeah.
I was mentoring her to write her CV, like have a professional CV in visual arts.
Right.
In Canada, what does it look like? I showed her, because it's different in other countries.
Sure.
And I'd done a visual arts creation grant where I'd seen about 500 different CVs.
So you've got a pretty good idea what they're supposed to look like.
There seemed to be a consensus on what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
And that helped.
Well,
that helped making her application to her grant, which she got.
Right.
Good. So now she's got two grants under her belt for her CV, and she can continue that way.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Great. So you know, the studio and drop some stuff off or something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You have your phone?
Yes.
Sunny though, but yeah, I couldn't ride my bike in this. Well, if the woods are your back, you can.
fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl. I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I played the doll game over and over. I just quarreled with Sue, and that's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone, and it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Say, boy, what you gonna do? I'm gonna do buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real girl.
Yeah. Yep.
When done.
Uh-huh.
Did it go okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's so windy that.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's funny until your stuff starts blowing across the goddamn parking lot.
Did it do that?
Yeah, well, wasn't. It was the two of my empty bags just started to blow away as I'm running after them. So you didn't see that.
No.
It's right by the car, but yeah, so there was. I had to run after them. I thought I had them secured. It was just, it's crazy. It's really windy.
Yes.
Not a lot of fun being in that much wind, but yeah, like I was saying before, like this would be great if that wind was at your back and you were on your bike. You're facing it would be another matter.
So. It's very strange because it's super sunny, windy, and now it's 6 degrees.
Yeah, so yeah, well, that's not that bad, 6 or 7, you know. Should be a little warmer probably, but at least there's no snow still sitting around melting.
Yeah. Right?
So, because we got so little snow this year. But we're getting this extended early fall, early spring thing. It's funny because like back in February, I remember seeing a couple of trees budding because it was so warm.
Yes.
I don't see it now. I don't notice any that are budding.
Oh yeah, yeah. This one is.
Is it?
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Once the once it's not windy like this, maybe sometime next week, maybe next weekend, I'm going to cut one of the branches off the apple tree with the chainsaw.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's one more branch I want to get rid of, so.
Yes.
And now that Mike Musial taught me how to use a chainsaw, which frankly was exactly what I expected, but I'm also frightened of it, so I wanted to make sure somebody knew what they were doing.
You kind of need somebody who knows it.
Yeah, just to show you. It's just like what you expect, you know. But I didn't know about the oil, and you got to put the oil in.
Michael was our dad that day. Thank you, Michael Musial, for being our dad for a day.
Seems like he's getting better.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Poor guy.
Maybe stop climbing on other people's roofs, Mike. Just saying. But yeah, I'm glad he's getting better.
That guy has been broken and remade so many times.
Yeah, he's like the ship Ephesians there. So is he actually still him? It's like Ken Herndon. That's not his kidney. So, you know, it's not completely Ken or Stephanie, Tyler. They're
completely
not.
Rebuilt. Right. He's a new man. Just amazing. Power of a human body to fix and heal.
I
feel very meditative today.
Do you?
Like slow and...
Well, you had a big week.
Just kind of looking at things and...
Like I said, you had a big week. You had every right to just relax a bit.
They're like jolts. Every time I do something that's super public and...
Well, sure, yeah.
With a lot of people, I'm happy and I've made some really meaningful connections with artists.
Sure.
That I consider almost family. It's really heartwarming, and at the same time, it takes a piece out of you.
Oh, yeah, that kind of thing always takes some out of you, no doubt. Yeah.
It's just the busyness of it, you know?
Yes.
Like it's like a mini wedding, or a mini baptism, or a mini something, you know, that you just consider and run. After that, I become like really kind of slow and just kind of staring at things.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's, you did good.
Thank you, Dave.
You did a good thing. Thanks for what? What did I do?
You were there.
Oh, yeah, of course I was there. You're doing a thing. I'm going to support you.
And you told me all encouraging words, always.
Well,
so that's very kind. I appreciate it.
You know, maybe you should take a cue from that and tell me some encouraging words now and then.
What? Oh, my God.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Oh, every morning these days are... Evenings. Well, in the evenings, you're not as ranty or angry.
No.
Because, I don't know, whatever. But,
in the morning,
seething, and you're like,
it's when I wake
pounding
up,
the table.
And I get all my email and go, why do I have all this fucking email, you idiots? Yeah. By the way, almost 95% of that isn't student email, by the way.
Yeah.
It's other things.
Oh, I know.
Still work related, but it's like, why am I getting all this fucking garbage? Oh, good, look.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I got brought back into that loop because I was supervising a student, and it was like, oh, my God, I didn't miss that. Every communication, people in culture, communication.
I wish what
culture.
You could do, see, because sometimes communication sensitive things, like about one of those emails in about 20, and I'm not kidding, about one in 20 affects me.
Yes.
Like directly, and I have to do something.
So it's like you're trying to dig for the one that concerns you, right?
Yeah, well, thing is, I would block the email address, seriously, and I have colleagues who have done that. They said, fuck it, I don't want to read these fucking memos anymore. But I would do that if it was, like, certain announcements. I understand why they're announced. That's not...
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about them being announced.
Yeah.
But if stuff that was... I don't know how you do this. Maybe that's why. But if I knew stuff that was coming from a certain email address was, oh, that's stuff that faculty will care about. I wouldn't block that, but I would block other things like, there's a guest lecture this week.
Yeah.
And those are all important things. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Yeah. So
they
wish...
They do their announcements that are internal.
Yes.
As if they're public, so everybody should know.
Yes.
And then all the business of the university, too.
Yes.
All in the same, in a few departments or in a few, under a few headings, and you're like, oh, crap.
Well, you look at something at the top, it'll say communication memo, and I always look at it because maybe it'll, like I said, one in about 20 concern me, but the vast majority are, this person from the registrar's office has now moved over to working in this other office, and good for them. I'm sure it's a better job, and that's why they moved, and they're getting paid more, but I don't really care. Why would anybody care?
It's a little bit difficult to keep track of.
Yes.
Definitely.
And why would anybody care? Like, I just sent an email to a class the other day, just this morning, saying, we're going to do a review session on Zoom on Monday. If you're around, drop in 10 o'clock with questions for next week's final exam. Because it's an important course and they have to get 75. And if they don't, they can't do their honors thesis. It's a career defining course, okay? So I want people to do well. I didn't send that to the whole university. I just sent that to my class.
Yes.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yes.
So it just don't cast the net so wide. You know?
Yes.
And it just drives me. I mean, I know it's a small thing.
Would say, oh,
I know. Nobody tells us anything.
Was it transparency? Transparency. Communication.
Yeah, transparency.
I think that's what
transparency.
They're thinking.
Oh, of course they are. Because if you're right, though. Because they're damned if they don't. If we stopped getting these things, there would be a subset of people going, why aren't you telling me about... It's like, Jesus, just do your fucking work and shut up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
It's so much for one person.
And exactly.
To sift through.
And it's fine. Like I said, they're all... announcements that are important to somebody, and that's not denigrating the people who they're about.
Yeah.
And it's nice that people get a little recognition like that, but hey, look, here's a person in a new job. I kind of get that, frankly.
Of course.
More than, I really don't want to go to the following. So there's probably no way they could make it specific, and that's why. So, and like you said, people get all into transparency. So it's probably that. It's probably the easiest solution, probably the best solution.
Right.
I just don't like it.
No, I understand. It's a necessary evil, right?
Yeah.
There's a plus and a minus. I was watching
a
series called Unlocked last night. Let's go on a little extra drive.
Okay, sure.
And it was, I forgot in what town it was. It was in the States. And this sheriff wanted to test a new rule of opening the doors.
Okay.
They kept calling it 23 and 1. So the 23 and 1 is 23 hours locked up and 1 hour open.
Right.
Which was the way to do things before.
Yes.
To avoid so much trouble, you know, with fights and making wicks, it's called, for tattoo inks and for smoking dope and hooch, I think they call it, an alcohol thing that they make.
Yeah.
So he wanted to test having the doors open and allowing a community to be built, to be formed into the block. Various floors that they have in jails, and so they tested that, and testing that was difficult. But where was I going with that? I don't
know. No, you were telling me, you said, I want to go further. I watched a show called Unlocked.
Yeah. I don't know what was my connection.
I don't know.
With trying, maybe with communication, I guess. Maybe
that's what it was. And transparency and all this.
Yeah, transparency. Exactly. So that was like, I thought it was a very cool social experiment. Maybe it's just another subject that I kind of started in my head while you were talking.
Probably.
That was kind of occupying my mind.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I know, I saw you watching that. So that was, but those were real prisoners in a real prison. That wasn't like a reality show, right?
Yeah, okay. They kind of installed cameras, so I guess that they worked with Netflix, with a crew to do this documentary, this show called Unlocked. And they wanted to see if it would change the culture.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
The hope was that the man would start communicating and work together to build the community.
Right.
And like, there was the OGs, old guys, yeah. I guess.
Original gangster, OG, yep.
Oh, okay.
That's just the term, OG.
Oh, right. Who were sort of, they needed to be kind of brought in as partners in delivering this new way of thinking. And as the inmates acted well, they would gain privileges,
sure.
Such as commissary, having visits, having free phone calls, things like that. So as they gained more social interaction, they began to have a little bit more hope in their lives and trust. And I think it was the hardest barrier was that trust.
Right. Well, sure, yeah.
They didn't trust, the inmates didn't trust the system. They felt like the system would drop them.
Well, that's probably
all the time.
They probably have pretty good reason to think that.
They had to, and every time something happened, often it was like the young inmates would want to get drunk, so they'd make hooch, you know?
Right.
And they got batteries from a clock, and they made fire so they could start a wick, and they could smoke dope, and then that set off the smoke alarm, and they had their privileges taken away for 24 hours, and then every time the sheriff would come down and talk to them. He worked with his staff too, and so they were like, it's just like, it was kind of fascinating hear it from all of the people's perspectives. That's all I was very interested in seeing that.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah. I don't know how well it would work long term, but anyway,
yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
Cool.
To follow that.
For sure. All right. We will see you later on.